here is that Jacob was faulty in his parenting skills. And so I don't want parents to feel bad. I know some of you made a lot of mistakes, and I've made mistakes, but I want us to understand what was going on in Joseph's life. Joseph, because of the influence of Jacob, his father, really became a spoiled, rotten brat. That's who he was. He was going to do something to his brothers, and he was going to brag about this and be filled with pride about that. And so Joseph was the one who was receiving all the special gifts and all the special attention. But notice one other thing in verse 4. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. And here's another key to faulty parenting. Jacob ignored sibling rivalry. You see, there's a natural sibling rivalry that goes on. If you've got a brother or sister, you know that. You know that when you have brothers and sisters, there's a normal rivalry that goes on as you grow up and as you mature. Hopefully you get out of that rivalry and you stop that. Even today, my children are getting along very well. Praise the Lord for that. But there was an incident that happened in seminary. We had a gold couch, and in that gold couch, there was a great big ink stain on the front of it. And to this very day, we don't know which of the three did it. But they always argue, you did it, you did it, you did it, you did it. And it's every time we have a group text comes up, I wasn't the one that did the couch, you did it. So it's interesting, but they've grown up and they've matured over that. And so I still don't know who did it. One of these days we will, but who cares? But if you ignore sibling rivalry, and it says here that the brothers could not even speak peaceably to him, the parenting fault was he didn't deal with the situation when he needed to deal with it. And you've got kids that fight all the time and fuss all the time. You need to deal with it. You need to deal with it early so you can train them to get along. Because when they go to work and they have a boss and he fusses at them and they get mad at him and speak back at him, they'll probably come home and live with you again. The idea is faulty parenting will cause division. So parenting skills are very, very necessary for us. And as I say, it is a learning experience. We don't know. When our firstborn came in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, she came home and she looked up at Diane and said, I'm in charge. And it's been that way ever since. I'm not going to mention her name, but her initials are Kim. Secondly, notice faulty relationships can cause division. Because Jacob did not take care of the sibling rivalry, because he did not deal with the infighting going on in the family, then we see Joseph coming up as being very arrogant and very filled with pride and feeling like, I got it made. Look, I got a coat of many colors. Ha, ha, ha. You don't have it. The idea is faulty relationships will cause division. Verse 5 and 6, he says, Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. Now, you know why he told it to his brothers? Because Joseph was arrogant. He knew what the dream was. He knew what it meant. And so he told them the dream. And here it was in verse 6. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. Now, he was again kind of egging them on, being very arrogant, being very prideful, and he was a special child. He had the special coat. He had the ear of the father. He was literally heir of the estate, and so he was arrogant to his brothers, but he bragged about his dream. Verse 7, he says, they were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheep arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheep. Now, how do you think the brothers felt about that? Didn't they love that story? Didn't they love to hear about that dream? And Joseph was being arrogant. He was egging them on. He knew which buttons to push, and you do too. And by the way, your teenage daughter or son knows exactly how to get your goat. An old preacher said one time, if you don't want to get your goat, don't let them know where you got it tied. And so keep those things that bother you to yourself and don't let them discover those. And so the family relationships will cause division. So the arrogance of Joseph, that he shared this dream, he knew what the dream was. He didn't need to tell them. He should have just pondered that in his heart. But because he was a spoiled brat, he told his brothers. And he was just kind of, needling them and egging them on just to get a rise out of them. And he certainly will. You'll see that in a few moments. We'll see that in the next few weeks. He bragged about the dream, but also he was ignoring the brothers' feelings. No, knowing they hated him, knowing they didn't want to hear this dream about everybody bowing down to him, he has another dream. It says in verse 7 or verse 8, he says, his brother said to him, shall we indeed reign over you, and shall you have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And so Joseph basically ignored the brother's feelings. He knew that they were upset about the dreams, and he had the second dream. He's going to go back again, and he's going to explain the dream to them. He's going to tell it to them all over again. The second dream is even more devastating to the brothers, because this time they're pushed to the edge. I mean, this is as far as they can go. They've just about had it with their brother. And so we see that he ignored the brother's feelings. Verse 9, he aggravated them. He says he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I've dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars all bow down to me." And again, he's kind of aggravating the brothers and needling them on, and he's causing division in the family. We need to learn to get along with brothers and sisters. We need to do that. We need to do that the best way we can. Now, I know there may be some situations where it will take years to get over those things. It will take years to do that, but it needs to be done. And so family relations will cause family divisions. And so Joseph not only ignored the brothers' feelings by telling them the second dream, he aggravated his brothers by giving this even bigger dream, that the sun and the stars and all, even the 11 brothers, will bow down to him. And so he caused great family division. Joseph caused this. Verse 10, it says, "So he told this dream to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down before the earth before you?' And his brothers envied him." The word really could be had hatred toward him. The brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. And so Joseph caused the family division because he was a spoiled brat. He had everything he wanted. He got everything he wanted, and he did everything he wanted. And Jacob never corrected anybody. He never corrected Jacob as he talked to the brothers. He never came as he knew that they were being egged on by Jacob, by Joseph. And so family relationships will cause division. But thirdly, faulty assignments can cause division as well. Faulty parenting, faulty relationships, faulty assignments. You know, in our family, we used to have assignments, and they would put them on the refrigerator, and each person had a job they were supposed to do, and the jobs would rotate and alternate. Y'all remember some of those? And so they'd have a job to do. We call them chores. We don't do that anymore. But they had certain responsibilities, and they had to do those if they got an allowance or whatever. And occasionally, we would have a little talk with Jesus. And we'd have to kind of have the reign of terror. You know how that goes. You have to kind of rein them back in again and say, "Listen, we're through with doing this. We're going to get it right." And so when I think about our early marriage, I have great regret. I traveled a lot in those days. I left on Monday and came back on Friday, many, many, many weeks in a row. And so I was gone most of the time. And even when our grandchildren were raised up, I told my wife, "I don't remember our kids doing that." And she'd just kind of say, "You were out of town." I didn't mean that. That was faulty assignments. Joseph got the easy assignments. To this day, to this very day, my three kids, when they talk, say, "We always had to clean up the dinner dishes after Sunday." And it's always, "I had to do it, but you didn't have to do it." Every one of them, "I had to do it, but you didn't have to do it." My recollection of it is all of them had to do it. Isn't that right? All three of them had a part in it. Maybe, do I? Most times I did it. Even then, I didn't do it because I traveled. So. But he got the easiest. Look in verse 12. "The brothers went out to feed the father's flock in Shechem." Now, that was a little distance away. And so when they went out of town and they had a difficult task, Joseph didn't go. He stayed home and sat on the couch and watched TV and played video games. He was a spoiled, rotten brat. And so God's going to teach him and mold him into this great person we're going to discover over the next several weeks, because God is going to show him what it's like to be humbled. God is certainly going to show him what it's like to be low man on the pole. And so Joseph, in his early life, had it made. I mean, he got all the easy assignments. Whatever was to be done, if it was hard, all the brothers had to do it, but Joseph didn't have to do it. And so, you know, the Josephs were in there in the bathroom with a toothbrush, you know, washing around the toilet and everything. You know, they were GI and everything. But Joseph was sitting over in his comfortable chair in his coat of many colors and saying, "My daddy loves me more than you, ha, ha, ha." And you can imagine what that does in a family. That does not exactly generate the Thanksgiving picture we see with Rockwell. And we need to realize that this was going on for the life of Joseph. He was 17 now, and later on, the brothers are going to meet him out in the field, and they're going to do something drastic. Joseph became Jacob's spy. Again, we see it here. Verse 13, Israel, that is Jacob, said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron and went to Shechem. And so literally he was saying, go check on your brothers and see if they're doing it right. And Joseph, you know, here am I. I mean, he was ready to go. He couldn't wait to go tell on his brothers. And he was just juicing at the mouth to find something wrong. He could go back and tell his father. He just couldn't wait. And so he was the spy. He was the tattletale. He was the snitch. And whatever the brothers did, they tried to hide it from Joseph, because he would run to mom and dad and tell them what was going on. And so you may have a child like that. I don't know. But there is hope for them. There's hope for you. Yeah, there is. Joseph then became the spy. He was anxious to go check on his brothers. He went to Shechem, and so we, as the story goes, and they weren't there, and they finally wound up in Dothan, but he did catch up with them. And so he was sent out literally as an overseer. That's what the coat represented. And notice in verse 14, he says, He says, go see what it's well with them. So he sent him out, please go and see if it's well. Verse 15, a certain man found him. There he was wandering in the field and said, what are you seeking? What are you doing? He said, I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they said they're going over to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. And so we see that he was coming to look at the brothers and their work and to evaluate what they were doing. Don't ever put a child in charge of another child. That is really dumb. Don't ever put, especially the one that you may think is smarter than everybody else, don't put them in charge. Maybe the eldest one could be a little bit in charge, but you're the parent. You're in charge. You're the one who's supposed to be giving the orders. You're the one who's supposed to be directing the family. And you're the one who's supposed to be trying to maintain peace within the family. And so faulty assignments will cause grave division. And so Joseph was given easy assignments, an easy way of living life. He didn't have any hardships going on for him. He had all the favor of the father. He had everything going for him. And now he's going to the brothers to check on their work. Don't you think they welcomed him? Oh, here comes our brother. Now, what a wonderful experience. He's going to look and see what we're doing and go tell Daddy. Those kind of things will cause grave division in a family. And Jacob never dealt with sibling rivalry, never dealt with the issue. And so we're going to see the outcome here in a few moments. Joseph was also aware that his brothers hated him, but it didn't bother him particularly. It says, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Now, they had gone as far as they could go, and now there was hatred that had gone into murder. They were willing to kill their own brother. You know, I'm saddened to see some of the headlines we see recently where parents are killed by their children, where children kill each other, where fathers kill their babies. It's amazing to me the number of folks that are taking human life. It's amazing that the culture we live in looks at that and says, oh, it's another, you know, crazy. My friend, we're headed in a downward spiral. The Bible says we're headed for damnation. Until the church is raptured out, it's not going to get any better. You can hope. We have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you ought to be telling everybody you know about Jesus, because one day the church is going to be snatched away, it'll be gone, and God will turn the demons of hell loose to see what the world will become. That's the tribulation period. And so Joseph's brothers hated him because of this assignment, because of what he was doing. He was in charge of them, literally. And Joseph's brothers were jealous. And so, verse 19, they said to one another, come, look, this dreamer is coming. Verse 20, come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast devoured him, we shall see what will become of his dreams. And so they were pushed all the way from just a sibling rivalry, to hatred, to jealousy, to envy, all the way to murder. And we're going to see that Reuben was the one who stood up and said, we cannot kill our brother. And as we look in the next few weeks, we're going to discover Joseph is going to be trained. And actually, the dream he had was a prophecy from God. And one day, as we think about chapter 30, I guess about 42, all the family will come back and bow to Joseph. And they didn't recognize who he was because he'd been raised as an Egyptian. They couldn't recognize him also because he walked like an Egyptian. Joseph's brothers were filled with jealousy to the point they're ready to kill him. Now, think about the family situation. Everybody in the family except Joseph knew what was going on. Jacob, the father, knew it was a dangerous thing, and yet he sent him anyway. He knew that they were angry with their brother. He knew that there was animosity growing. I'm not sure he knew that murder was in their hearts. But my friend, if you do not deal with sibling rivalry, if you do not deal with the divisions in your family, it will eventually lead to something very tragic. And we see that over and over and over again. The family is dying. The family is in distress. Matter of fact, the federal government's redefined family. It's people who live in a non-homogeneous group of people who live at the same address. It's no longer father, mother, children. The nuclear family, biblically, is gone from our culture. And so we need to fight for that and hold our families together and do what we can to teach them and train them. And so I want to give you four principles, life principles. First of all, you need to build a faith-based family. I'm going to use Proverbs, great wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. I don't know how many mothers have told me they spent lots and lots of time praying for a child. I don't know how many fathers have told me that. I don't know how many grandparents have told me that. That they prayed and they prayed for their children. Listen, the time to train them is early. Early. You need to trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not your own understanding. And don't go to those parenting books. Go to the Word of God. It teaches clearly what parenting is all about. So build a faith-based family. That's very important. Secondly, use measured punishment. I've heard parents say, oh, when he gets home, I'm going to kill him. Hopefully you don't literally mean that. You need to realize that punishment needs to happen, but it needs to be measured. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hates his child, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. And so we have to be careful in the world we live in today. If you say something harsh to your child or you punish them in the parking lot at Walmart, I promise you, somebody will see that and report it, and human services will be at your door, calling you you're guilty of child abuse. And so we need to be very discreet in how we punish our children. It needs to be measured. It needs to be carefully measured. We had one strong-willed child, and I told you their initials, and to deal with that child was differently than we had a soft-willed child. And we had one kind of in the middle, but he was a younger child, but the middle one was a soft one. And so he would do something, and he would say, oh, I'm so sorry, and he would grovel, and he would just be so submissive. But the hard-nosed one would say, I'm sorry. And you know how that goes in a family. So measured punishment, it's based on their personality. Listen, every one of them is different. I don't care if you have 3 or 16 or 5. Whatever you have, every one of them is different. I mean, they're stamped. There's a difference. And you have to treat them according to their personalities. And so you have to find out where their goat is tied and get it. So use measured punishment, and it has to be very carefully done. I don't mean beat them. People take that, he who spares the rod hates his child. I think there's time for punishment, and I think there's time for, as they grow older, you need to get away from spanking them. I remember many times I was taken to the woodshed, and I'm telling you what, when I got out of the woodshed, I wasn't going to do what I did again, ever again. And you need to understand that sometimes you need more difficult punishment than others. So I was going to say harsher punishment, but let the punishment fit the crime. How about that? Thirdly, teach life's morals. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. You know that scripture. The word train up means to put him on track. And you've lived that by being a faith-based family. You've lived that by measuring the appropriate punishment to your children, and you've taught them as they grew up in their family to do what is right, to do what is wrong, to know what is wrong. You've taught them to get on track, and that's literally what that means. And so you do that early. You don't wait till they turn 18 or 19 and try to get them to church. You bring them while they're young. I remember waking up right out of the womb, still wet with all the stuff, and I was in the nursery. Some of you know what that means. I was born at First Baptist Church, so. But if you don't teach them young, you're going to have a tough, tough time later on. As they get older and they're exposed to the things in the world and they get their thinking and they reach that age of I know more than you and I've been there, you know, I knew everything at 19 and when I was 22, I knew everything. When I got to be 40 and 50 and 60 and, you know, on and on, I realized that really the older you get, the more you realize you don't know. the older you get to realize there's lots more stuff out there we could know. And so you need to teach them early while you have a chance. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I've seen that worked out in many families. I've seen them grow up and go on Rumsfeller, do their Amish thing, go out and sow their wild oats, and come back home and say, you know, that's not what I want. I want a relationship with Christ. And finally, you need to be able to know belligerent versus immature. And this is the hardest part of parenting. This is the hardest thing we have to do, to be able to discern between a belligerent child and just an immature child. You know, when children are young, they do immature things. But as they grow older, they get an attitude. And sometimes they can become very belligerent. And they can become very, I don't know what the word is, mean. You know, your children can become something you don't want them to become. And so, verse 22, or chapter 22, Proverbs again, verse 15, foolishness is bound up in the child of heart. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. And again, that talks about dealing with the issue when the issue is an issue. Don't wait till 3 or 4 weeks after an issue has been in your family and try to deal with it. You need to understand sometimes they do things out of immaturity. And so you need to deal with that and help them to mature and to grow in that experience. And whatever they do, you need to help them grow and understand that what they did was not acceptable. And so when they're real little, you teach them about good guys and bad guys, to not take candy from, strangers, not do things like that. As they grow older, though, they get a mind of their own. And pretty soon they become belligerent, and you need to know what's the difference. And when they become belligerent, you need to deal with it and take care of that issue, if at all possible. And so, as we think about the family, Joseph was raised in a divided family. That's who Joseph was. And he's going out to meet his brothers, not knowing that that's the last time he will see his father for a long, long time. I pray for families. I pray for, in fact, on our prayer list Wednesday night, we pray for families. As the family goes, so goes the church. And that's very true. And so you all who have children and you're raising those children and still bearing children, my crops lay by, thank the Lord. And so the idea here is you need to bring them under the nurture and admonition of the Lord and train them, because they will become who you are. That's a scary thought. But you need to realize that Joseph in his divided family was living out a prophecy that God's going to prove in his life, as we see next week when the brothers decide not to kill him but just to throw him in a pit. And so when we think about Joseph and his life, he started out as a spoiled brat, but he ended up as the prince of Egypt. He ended up literally saving his entire family. And so if you got one of those wild childs, they may wind up saving you one day. They may be the answer to your prayers. I don't know. Maybe they'll retire in Florida and have a beautiful home for you to come live with them. But the idea here is take care of your family while you can right now. Deal with the issues while they're an issue. Don't wait. Let's stand and we'll dismiss. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the honesty of your word. We thank you that even though Joseph was a spoiled brat, you had great plans for him. And you had a way in which you were going to teach him some things in life. As he goes through those struggles and those difficulties, we have an example of our character and how we might be developed. Father, bless this time as those make decisions, and I pray that you'll draw them to this altar. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as we sing in a moment. Now listen, if you come, we're not going to think your family's divided. You got a wild child. This is between you and God. You come as the Lord leads you. Let's sing.
I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty.
Your families. Let's close in a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for many blessings you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for the messenger we had today and the message. And please, if there is division in families, let it be resolved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.